Legends of the Lane One podcast. We're back. We're still here. We're still thriving. We're still living. We're here with a special episode. We're showcasing Wesley Shelp. Wesley has a fun event coming up, and we wanted to showcase it and give him an opportunity to tell the world not only about himself, but also about what he's doing. He's got the longest day coming up, and you're going to hear about that. And you also will see information about that in the show notes. Check out the links. Check out the event that he is has coming up this coming Saturday. And, learn more about it. And if you got a little spare change, why don't you make a little donation? Because the event is in support of a worthy cause. So check it out. Learn more about it. And learn more about Wesley. Just real quickly, we have lots of events that we're working on and we're planning through Q Running. We'll have more updates on that coming up shortly. Follow our Facebook, follow our Instagram, Q Running, to learn more and to stay up to date on those events that we have, coming up. And just real quickly, just wanted to let folks know that obviously we didn't go anywhere. We had taken a bit of a hiatus, and for a couple of reasons. One, we just got really busy with our events, with our coaching, with promoting and empowering the running community here in the Golden Isles and around and about and in other locations. And also, we had conducted several interviews for the podcast, and then was ready to get them edited, ready to get them all ready to go. And then my hard drive that I keep all of this wonderful material on decided to crash. And so I thought I had lost all that data, lost all that information, not just the audio recordings of the podcast that I had completed, but also a lot of other data and material that I use for the running company and such. So through the wonders of luck, YouTube, and some IT friends, I was able to rescue all that data. And a part of those were the conversations that I had with folks probably a little bit over a year ago. So we're going to be working on getting those episodes edited and up to date. And we'll get those published here shortly. And I think you guys will enjoy those conversations, even though they were recorded some time ago. And the other reason why we have this time together is because, summer tends to be our slower time of the year, but it also affords us the opportunity to plan, to develop, and to kind of organize and kind of review the year that was. But I also broke my foot, and not being able to do as much, not to have that mobility, was able to refocus the efforts on the podcast and, you know, work on getting these things edited and up and loaded so that you guys can enjoy them. So I have 8 weeks in a boot, two weeks already in, six more to go. So I'm going to be spending a lot of time at the computer getting these things, getting these conversations edited and ready to go and get them loaded up to your favorite platform, wherever you listen to podcasts. So I hope all your training is going well. Hope your races are going well. I hope everything is going well. We're glad to be back and enjoy this conversation with Wesley. Thanks. Okay. Where do I sign up? So, well, let's just jump into it, man. Okay. So Wesley Shoup, am I saying that correctly? Shoup.
Yes.
Shoup. Do you know the background of the name Shelp?
It's German. Like,
it's German?
It's German Dutch.
Okay.
So I believe in German it's spelled Schouppe, which I've actually had an argument with a German. They said it's Shoup. I'm like, no, it's Shelp. So come to find out, my father did correct me. He goes, son, it is Shoup. But when you were younger, I didn't want to be affiliated with some family members, so we said Shelp.
So, isn't that usually how it goes?
Yeah, yeah.
So now I saw that you're originally from Pennsylvania.
Yes.
So is that part of the German kind of diaspora that landed in Pennsylvania?
Right. German and Polish, Hungarian.
Okay.
So grew up just outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Okay. In Washington
Steelers
County. Absolutely. Absolutely. All three of them. Steelers, Pirates, and Penguins.
Nice.
Not so much baseball.
Born and bred?
Yeah. Yeah, just right outside the city.
Okay.
You know, family, just they're all blue-collar steel workers, coal miners, you know. Yeah. So that's, I just come from.
And what you think of Western Pennsylvania, yeah. Your family, if you opened up the book, they'd be standing there going, yeah.
Yeah, 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 you know. So love it, love where I grew up. Don't get to go back visit much, but, you know, when I graduated college, my career brought me south. I moved from Pittsburgh to Lafayette, Louisiana. And
you did your undergrad in Pittsburgh?
Yes. Okay. I graduated from Robert Morris University.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Business administration, okay. Human resources.
And what took you to Louisiana?
Oh, a job with Sears Roebuck.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
which, boy, I'm glad that didn't last long, right?
Yeah. And what was the career? What were you doing with Sears?
Part of their management training program.
Okay.
Yeah. So I moved there, and then I spent 20 years of my life in all over Louisiana.
Really?
You name it. And I've lived there. You know, so
I've only been to New Orleans post Katrina. We did some, the organization I worked with, we did some development work right after the hurricanes and the flooding. And I've never had the opportunity to go to other parts of Louisiana. And it's one of those, it's on my bucket list. I want to see the rest of that state because I think it's just one of the more unique cultures and states, you know,
absolutely
here in the U.S.
It's really three different cultures in one state. You have New Orleans, which that's just its own.
The Autonomous Republic of New Orleans.
I think everybody's from Jersey when I first moved. I'm like, you're from Jersey, their accent, right? And then you go west to where I originally moved to, which was Lafayette.
Okay.
That's the heart of Cajun country.
Coon-ass.
Yes, Coon-ass. Everybody talks with a thick tongue and that kind of accent. Then you, a little bit further west, everybody thinks we're part of Texas. So it's more of a... just a Western cowboy feel.
Yeah.
You go north and you got the rolling hills. Everybody's part of Mississippi. So it's
fascinating.
It just has so many different cultures just down one state. Lafayette, by far, highly recommend that. That whole area is just wonderful.
Yeah, I've never been.
Oh, they have so much fun. It was like an extra year of college for me.
So. That conversation we won't post that one.
we'll leave those details out.
So when you were at school or your undergrad, did you run?
I did not. Okay. I was a football player through high school, and then I got recruited to play football for St. Francis University, which is like middle PA.
Okay.
Up in the mountains.
Yeah.
Got injured the week before the first game.
Stop it.
Yeah, sure did. Yeah.
One of those injuries, or did you recover?
No, it was a cracked vertebrae.
Oh. Back.
Yeah. So just decided, I wasn't going to go pro or anything.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It just wasn't worth it.
Wow.
So I hung it up.
What position did you play?
I was tight end.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
A receiving tight end, obviously.
Yeah. So, kind of the Gronk.
Wasn't much of a beefcake back then. Well, it was different back then, too. I mean, linemen weren't like they were now. I mean, gosh, I played tight end at 175, 180. I mean, now I'm not talking like it's the 50s, but that was 1992. That
Sure.
It was a while ago.
Yeah.
Things were a lot different now, so. But they still hit hard. Gosh. But, so I hung up. That was pretty much the end of any kind of athletics for me until I got into running.
Okay.
So,
which was when?
I didn't start running until I was 4 years old. Yeah.
So that was what, 8 years ago, nine years ago?
Yeah, it was 8 years ago.
Really?
Matter of fact, I just had, on the 15th was the anniversary of my first race.
Your runniversary.
My runniversary, yep. Yep.
What was the race?
It was Marwaukee's Beast for a Day.
Where is that?
That's in St. Francisville, Louisiana.
Okay, which is where in the state?
Kind of central.
Okay.
If you ever heard of the Myrtles Plantation.
Sure.
The ghost. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's right across the street.
Okay.
Myrtles, where we ran.
What was the impetus or what was the motivation that one day you woke up and you went, I'm going to try this crazy sport called running?
Man, I tell you, heartbreak, man.
Heartbreak
and trauma.
There's a lady involved.
I truly believe this. Like, any true... I won't say true. That's any honest ultra runner. I bet you there's something.
Oh, we're running from something.
Yeah, there's a past. There's an addiction. There's
absolutely
heartbreak. There's something, some kind of trauma that I think lifts you and gets you started.
Sure.
But really is a path to a better life.
Sure.
You know?
Because it could have gone the other way, right?
Right. I could, yeah.
Could have started drinking and doing drugs.
Yeah, yeah. Or, sad to say, but a lot of things end in suicide. Like
sure,
that, you know?
Sure.
So this became, it started out as a way to cope. It wasn't right into running. You know, when this happened, I was heavy into the weights.
Okay.
I was about 235. I was pretty big dude.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Through this transition, I lost about 80 pounds.
Wow. How tall are you?
I'm 6 foot.
Okay.
Yeah.
So 6 foot,
yeah.
230. You're a solid dude.
So we find the weight room very often to get through that. You know, it's funny. My father will even say it to this day. He would call me up 10 o'clock at night. I'd be in the gym. You know, he's, son, what are you doing? So I'm in the gym. He goes, you're saving lives. Yep. So when something emotional comes up like that, he's got to go save some lives, right?
Leg day.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Yeah. So, yeah, and it just, I had a friend that, he was a store manager. I was working in Baton Rouge at the time, a local store. I worked for Lowe's then. And he'd come up to me and he said, man, you need to get some cardio in your life. I'm like, oh, what's that supposed to mean? All right, let's do it. He took me down to the lakes in Baton Rouge, just a popular place to run, you know, just for 2-3 miles, and I thought I was going to die. I mean, 235, hulked up. Oh, man.
And no cardio.
Oh,
it's all just
it was all meat, weight, potatoes, and weights.
I love it.
I refer to those guys as sausage necks now. But... yeah, that's where it kind of started, and I'd run a few miles every now and again with him, and we entered a race. It was called the Disposable Heroes Project, the Crucible, and it was one of those.
Got these names of these races in Louisiana.
I love it. That's an awesome name, the Crucible. Yes. He was a Marine, so I think he came spawned from that obstacle course. So it was one of those type races.
Gotcha.
3 miles. 15 obstacles, and I was like, oh, I kind of like this.
Yeah.
You know, started hit that ego to compete a little bit, and I got home or got on Facebook, and I saw that popped up in there, and I jumped right in. So
you're like, I'm in it.
I went right from a 5K obstacle course to a ultra marathon.
As your second race?
Yeah. So.
I got the name of a few good therapists here.
Right. Right.
And what was the distance of that one?
It was a 3:6:12.
Okay, gotcha.
It's a great race. It's just last man standing wins, kind of like your Guava Trail run.
Yeah.
Love that. Love that idea. I got destroyed, man. It was horrible. I
bit off more
up
than you could chew.
Oh man, I showed up just like any newbie today. Yeah,
I'm gonna do this, man.
My new Camelback and a granola bar. You know, and that was a heck of an education right there, you know,
that's
really where it happened. And it was the event. I was proud of what it did. Those guys are awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, they weren't going to see me fail.
Right. They were very encouraging. They were supportive. Yeah.
They taught me a lot.
Nice.
You know, so I really fell in love with that group. And, you know, you start to realize that, hey, these people are a lot like me. And then when you get to know
crazy.
Them, you're like, yeah, they're going through the same stuff as me, right? So let's all be friends. That sounds like a great idea, right? Yeah. So, that's how it all got started.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
I think sometimes people will look at me and say, it must come easy. It's been a long road. I put a lot into 8 years to do a fraction and not even be that good at it.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean?
That's how I know, man, I love it.
Yeah.
I love running.
Yeah.
I really love it. So, and I love to compete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. I've met a lot of folks, several folks here in the area that were a late bloomer that came into running much later and just like you, really just fell into it hook, line, and sinker and have not looked back.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's especially. It seems more apparent now, you know, with social media and being able to see what people are doing, that it's I think it's just more common.
Yeah.
And I've met more people here that are kind of late. I say late bloomers only because they didn't go what I would think the traditional route, like me,
yeah.
ran cross country and track in high school, ran cross country and track in college, you know, ran for a little bit for a semi-pro after, and then just kind of kept going, you know. Here are these, like you, I was like, oh, I was 40, somebody told me to get into a 5K, and it was like, next thing you know, I'm doing a marathon, you know.
Yeah, right. Which I think the disadvantage there is, I think a lot of people get frustrated because they look at people like you that you've done it all your life and like, gosh, I can't run like him. Well, he's been doing it all his life.
Right.
You know,
right.
You got to go through the process. You know, I mean, and if you can wait that out, and I see a lot of people that don't, and that's unfortunate. You know, maybe it just wasn't for them. But if you can just wait out that period, and then when you really start to see, I don't even want to say performance, but I guess maybe some of the returns on what you've invested into it.
Sure. Sure.
You know, then it gets exciting. Yeah. At least it did for me.
Yeah.
You know, but
so that race that you did, the second, the ultra, the timed, which distance did you, or which hour?
I did the 3 hour.
3 hour. Okay.
Yeah, I only made 17 miles.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
I mean, come on, but 17 hours in 3 hours.
They wouldn't even
good.
Let me drive home. They're really? Like, you need to stay here for
up.
A little bit. Yeah, yeah. I was bad.
How were the kidneys? Were
it was everything was dark. it was dark. Yep. Yeah, so
then how soon after you got home did you register for your next event?
Oh my gosh, I would have to look. It was pretty quick. It happened pretty fast. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was Q50 Chupacabra.
Okay.
Which was a night race in Bogachita State Park.
Also in Louisiana?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that was my second one. That was probably a couple months later or something.
And what was
like
the distance
that.
Of that one?
That was like a 10 mile.
10 mile, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But a trail race.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's where I got, I found out real quick the trails are for me.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, just being out there and it's quiet and the sound of your own footsteps,
yeah,
man. And you just, you know, if you want to meet up with somebody, chat for a little bit and take off, have at it, you know. But, and I found the community is, you know.
It's a different vibe.
It is. It's a lot
different.
It's a different
vibe. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I most of the trail runs, it's let's run all day and then we're going to eat and
drink
have
beer.
A few beers.
Yeah.
And where else do you get that?
Right?
A family reunion.
Right. You know, I mean, you're right. I mean, I was a roadie for many years, you know, and
The
road scene is much different than the trail race. It wasn't until we moved here, of all places, that I was like, yeah, I'm going to do my first trail run. I mean, I had to go to Northern Georgia for it.
Yeah.
But, you know, and it was like, wow, man, this is.
Where at Northern Georgia do you?
Well, my first ultra was at the North Face Endurance Challenge, which they don't have anymore, up at FDR State Park.
Okay.
And it was a 50K. All right. I did that 50K and was like, this is it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in it. I'm in it. Let's keep going and keep going and keep going. And I didn't look back until now, where I can't even run across the parking lot without hurting myself.
No more jump rope.
No more jump rope.
Yeah, I love it up North Georgia. I found a little place up there on Blood Mountain. Love it.
Yeah,
and that's where I need to go, not just to run, to clear that head. And
absolutely.
I mean, that does wonders for you.
Yeah.
It does wonders for legs, too.
So the Chupacabra, then, what was the next event after that? Do you remember? Well, before you answer that, have you done any road events? Have you done a marathon?
Actually, I probably like any other runner, I had the goal for Boston.
Oh.
And this is a good story.
All
so
right.
Tell 2018, the story. I was running the Jack's Marathon.
You were living here already?
Yeah, Ameris Bank, Jacksonville Marathon.
Yep.
2 weeks before the race, I got hit by a truck. I did. I'm 341.
Where were you? Were you running?
I was. I was running.
I've also been hit while running.
Have you?
But you're
okay.
You know,
let's
fill
share.
Your story. Yeah.
So coming down 341, the right by the Starbucks, crosswalk was open.
Yeah. Okay.
Little white walkie guy.
Yeah.
And I was blistering across that crosswalk, and a guy come up behind me and turned down the street that I was running across, and he hit me. I would say I landed past the pole, so a good 30 feet.
Wow.
Yeah. And the only reason I got up from that, I was off the ground when he hit me. Like
okay.
He tried.
Yeah.
And I got up, and I was like, what just happened? And everybody's like, sit back down. I'm like, no, would you?
Your adrenaline, yeah.
Yeah, I was pumped up. Yeah. And the only thing that happened, I ended up having like 70 cc's drained off my bursa.
Oh.
Hip on my hip. And I was good to go.
That's it.
Yeah, that was it, man. Talk about, yeah, that was.
And probably a nice bruise, right?
Super light. Oh, yeah, and a hip, a little strawberry, you know what I mean? But I was super lucky. That happened 2 weeks before that. Yeah.
2 weeks before Boston?
No, before
Before Jack's Peak.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
That would have been my first marathon. So I went down there. I needed to run a 3:20.
Yep.
And I ran a 3:21. I was like, this sucks. You got to be kidding me. So like, okay, let's try this again. And I thought, you know, I'll make the return home and try to run the Pittsburgh Marathon.
Oh, yeah.
A couple months later. And actually ran a 3:34, so okay. A little worse day. And I was like, you know, I don't think this road's for me. It wasn't as it was fun. I like to go fast.
Yeah.
I like the vibe. Down at Jacksonville, I ran with a group of six guys, and it was so beautiful. We were packed up.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was poetic.
Right.
Everybody was in stride.
Right.
It was just awesome to be a part of something like that. So it's fun, but I just enjoy the trails a little bit better.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. Pittsburgh was the last road marathon.
Yeah. So
no interest in pursuing Boston. I mean, you get older, the time.
Maybe. I mean, when I have a couple other goals first, though. You know what I mean? Everybody else dreams of that golden ticket.
Oh,
right?
I know. Which golden ticket are we talking about? Boston or Western?
Western.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I can only think of one qualifier out here, and I think that's up in that's a run bum race. I think Georgia Death Race is a qualifier for it.
Georgia Death Race, and also Umstead is one, which is in Raleigh, North Carolina, and then also Long Haul 100, which is down in Florida.
Oh, okay. So I almost signed up for that one.
So you have some options. That's a tangent. Anyway, so you run Pittsburgh, you're like, I'm good. I've got the roadie out of me. I don't need it anymore.
Yeah?
Yeah,
pretty much. I mean, I'll do
a little 5K here.
Yeah, I'll do 5Ks, 10Ks. I haven't even done half. You know what? The Jekyll Island.
Yeah, you did it under the Oaks, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. So I don't mind that, you know, just to scratch the itch to go fast every now and again.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think at some point in time, you know, when I first decided to get a coach to get me through some injuries and that, you gotta kind of pick one, you know. You can't be going from 50 milers one weekend to a 5K the next.
Sure you can. Right. Trust me, I've trained many people that have done that.
Well, we think we can.
Might not be the smartest decision.
No.
You mentioned coach. Who's your coach?
Casey Hill.
Shout out to Casey Hill. Where is she located?
Casey's up in Virginia.
Okay.
So I actually met Casey in Baton Rouge.
Okay.
At the Beast for the Day.
He
worked on me, stretching me out, and then, you know, years later, it's funny because when you look at his advertisement, it's him stretching somebody.
Yeah.
And that was me.
Oh.
So when I decided to take him on as a coach, I was like, hey, you know, the whole time for last 6 years, I've been your advertisement, right? So do I get a discount?
Do I get a discount?
So,
did you get a discount?
No.
Come on, Casey.
So he's power running MD.
Okay.
Yeah, out of Virginia. So
good. Yeah. And how long have you been working with Coach Casey?
Wow. Over about a year and a half.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Just had some things I had to work through, some minor injuries.
Sure.
You know.
Sure.
Get you back on track.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I frustrate the hell out of him. You can relate to that, can't you?
I have definitely athletes that challenge me.
Perfect way of putting it.
Challenge me, which is good.
You That's challenge them, and they challenge
me, and it's a mutually assured destruction. I mean, mutually assured. relationship.
I like to think that, you know, you guys as coaches are sitting in the background, really we're disagreeing with all of our decisions, but going, attaboy.
I'll say this. I have an athlete that I've coached for several years. Fantastic athlete. And will say, on the record, and if they were here, they would shaking up in you know, they would affirm what I'm about to say. You know, she calls some of the runs that they go on stupid decisions with my stupid friends, which I find endearing. You know, because I mean, like you were saying earlier, that's what it's about. It's about the community. It's about running with your friends and your peers and doing stuff, because that's the experience, man. That's what the experience is about, is having that joint experience with your friends and meeting new people and having that experience. And that's the one thing I miss about the competitive side or the running side of it. But I've definitely come to appreciate from the other side of creating events and, you know, producing events that will give you guys the opportunity to do that and share that. So yeah, I mean, definitely challenged as coaches, but I understand.
Blame it on friends. I'm all for that.
like hey, you want to run 6 hours next Saturday? Are you free?
You know, the words "take it easy" on Wednesday nights, and that's if Mitch and Stacy show up, it's bad things
it's
are gonna
game
happen.
On.
I can't help it, man.
Right? You know, what can you do?
But yeah, so. Gosh, I don't even know where I was at.
No, it's okay. So we were talking about Pittsburgh. Yeah. That was your last road marathon. And so the Chupacabra was a 10-miler. And then did you then do like a 50K, 50-miler, kind of the more traditional ultra distances out there?
Yeah, yeah. I'm real loyal to race directors. So,
nice.
I've always
we
ran
love you guys. We
I know,
love the
man.
Loyal.
And you know what? It's about that. And that's another reason why. You know, it's that vibe you get from directors. You can tell if they care or if they don't care about you. You know, your performance, it's not about a race, it's about you.
Right.
But, so I kind of stuck through. I entered Walker. His name is Walker Higgins. He's a trail runner out of Louisiana, Baton Rouge.
Shout out to Walker.
And so I entered his series. He had a race series of 6 and 12 milers outside of the Beast. And then Cesar Torres with Q50. He has another series, but then has what I call the Woodstock of trail running.
Nice.
It's a weekend event. There's it used to be on 2 days. It does it all in one now. 6 races, anywhere from a 6-miler to 52-miler. So real quick, some of my goals were I wanted to win Extravaganza.
Okay.
That's what I wanted to do, you know, and I wanted to get my first ultra. The first official ultra distance happened at the Beast for a day, though, with Walker Higgins.
Okay.
Years later, so I ended up completing, I believe that was in, that would have been in 2017 is when I hit that first ultra distance. That was 39 miles.
39 miles, okay.
Yeah.
And that was at the Walker?
Yeah, just for a day. Yep.
Nice.
And then the following year, I entered for the Extravaganza. That would have been 52 miles. And I was third in that. Came back following year, 39-miler, and that was first. And then came back 2 years later and first in 52-miler.
So, and so just from a timeline... How many years are we into running at this point?
So I started in 15. So, yeah, three to 4 years.
Okay, mm-hmm. So you saw some results pretty quickly.
Yeah, yeah, I did all right.
Yeah.
I had a good group of people.
Were you still going to the weight room?
No. Now you can't get me in a damn weight room. And that's another... Sorry, Casey.
You can... Apologies, Casey.
That was tough. You know, I went strictly running, and which was it really is a good thing. When I got to coach, he's like, "Listen, you got to start. We do more than run.
Right.
We got to take care of the whole machine.
Right. Right.
You know, so
a holistic approach. Yeah.
It's been great. I don't particularly care for it. You know. So, but
don't care for which part.
The gym weight.
Oh,
the routine workout.
Gotcha.
For runners, I like to throw some stuff around.
Sure.
And get medieval in there. And,
yeah.
You know, but some of the, I don't want to say they're boring. They're just
Well, you can say weeks, whatever you want.
It's not kind of workout, you know what I mean? You know, I got a rubber band between my knees. That's the other part. I'm like, man, I don't feel like I'm doing anything.
You need the thigh master. Man.
Yeah, right. I get on that machine at the gym, everybody looks at me funny. No. But, no, so, yeah, I saw some results, and I just, I really like to compete.
Yeah.
And there's a group of guys, they know who they are, that I chased for years, and I used them.
When you were in Louisiana?
Yeah. And I used them to do just that.
You locked in on them, and you're like, I'm chasing you guys. Yeah.
You know, so that's fun for me.
Yeah. So then you do the 52-miler, and that was at the Q50 event?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And then what's the next? Did you bump up to 100?
Well, actually, no, I did a Wildcat. Gosh, man, this is hard for me to keep track of all this. The Wildcat 100K was last summer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I did that. That was brutal.
Where's that one held?
That's in Pensacola.
Pensacola. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it's all out in the sun.
You just get beat down.
It was horrible, yeah. Man. Which I guess I'm getting ready to do that. Bad decision. 2023.
Which event do you have coming up?
Is the longest day ever.
That is. Yeah. But don't you have another? Don't you have something else? You just registered for something else for 2024, though.
Oh yeah. That's the Forgotten Florida.
The Forgotten Florida. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's the 100-mile.
Yeah, the 100-mile.
And that's going to be your second attempt at 100-mile, or third attempt.
That'll be third.
Third attempt.
Yeah, okay. My first attempt was.
Don't go there yet, because I've got a question to ask you about.
Yeah. That.
About your first. No, it's not. Oh. So then, this Forgotten Florida is going to be your third 100.
You're right.
Okay.
I haven't completed one yet. Yeah.
Okay. So well, since you brought that up, then
let's dancing around.
No. Let's just jump into it. So, in doing my research. You wrote and you posted, and I don't remember when I posted. I didn't write this down. So I'm just going to read this to you, then we're going to...
Sure.
The mic is back to you. It's called Mile 93.
Yeah.
You wrote, "My demon's name is Century. We have met once before in the realm of delirium. He whispered in my ear all the dark secret doubts that were once just fleeting thoughts in my months of preparation. Deep into the night, that demon lurked in the shadows of every mile, shouting, 'It's not your mind that is weak, it's your body. You are not prepared. You are tired, hurt, and broken. I can take the pain away. Just say the words.' At that moment, I surrendered to his request, only for him to whisper in my ear, 'I lied. It is your mind that's weak.' From that day forward, every mile has been dedicated to your destruction. We will meet again in the darkness, Century, and among the cheers from the children of the Cane, I will claim your name." What was the inspiration for that? And just so folks know, and something I also want to ask you about, you're a bit of a poet.
Yes.
Okay. So you wrote that in response to what?
My first 100-mile attempt was the Delirium 24-hour endurance race in Buford, South Carolina.
Okay.
And that was, I've always self-crewed. I've never had a crew.
Okay.
I went up there solo.
What time of the year is that?
That's in the fall.
Fall, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was kind of hot, coldish kind of thing throughout the night. But, you know, just showed up there in a tent and let's run. And that was one of those events, man. So much happened that night. And I made a huge, huge rookie error that just deflated me. So it was on a 1.66-mile track.
Okay.
And, well, it was a trail, but it was track.
Right.
So we had to do it 60-some times. And...
to reach 100 miles.
To reach 100 miles, yeah. And I had it in my mind. I was like, okay, I know what I want to do. If I can be at 50 by sundown,
we're golden. We're golden. You knew mentally, if I can get there?
Mentally, yeah.
Gotcha.
Because keeping track of my Garmin, he's keeping track of laps. What I didn't calculate for, when I got to mile 50, what I thought was mile 50-ish, a little bit over, come to find out that it really wasn't, because I've been running the outside line. So that took... believe it or not, 10 feet wide.
Makes a big difference. Makes a difference.
About 6 miles off. And I'm like, whoa. Oh, you got to be kidding. And it just, that started the whole,
unraveling.
Just deflated me. Yeah. I was falling apart at the seams. And you know, then after that, you get angry, and you know, and I quit eating, and I quit drinking, and it was just, man, it was so mental.
Yeah.
And one of the scariest moments of that whole night, because when it got dark, there was only about four of us left out there. And, you know, you got that halo, that bubble at night you're living in.
Yeah.
I was leaned up against a tree, and I had my head on a tree. And I felt, come on, man, keep going. I opened my eyes, there was nobody there.
Uh-oh.
And I don't know, maybe it happened, I just
stayed there. So you were there, you felt something.
Oh, yeah, it was 100%, like, yeah, it was bad. And I just couldn't take the pain. And they took off my socks at one point, and I tried to ice, and my feet were swollen.
Yeah.
It hurt so, so bad. And I remember coming in on 93. He would have left the clock open. I wouldn't have hit it by 24 hours.
Okay.
But I know he would have left it open just to see somebody finish. You know what I mean?
So and the clock stopped at 24. It was like you had 24 hours. That was it.
Yeah,
okay.
That was it.
Okay.
Yeah. So I come in. He's like, shoop. Of course, right?
Right.
And I just went like, yes. And I'll never forget, man, he gave me a huge hug.
Yeah.
And he's like, nothing to be ashamed of, man. And I started crying. And I sat down in that chair. And the minute I sat down,
yeah,
I was like, what the hell did you just do?
Yeah.
And I want to say I felt great.
Yeah.
But it went, I'm like, I could have finished that. You know, I really felt like it was all good.
Like physically you felt. Yeah. Yeah.
And I was, oh, man, it was a hard one to recover from. So that's really where that came from, that poem.
Yeah.
And there was a track coach in the middle of the night. He did pull me aside. He's like, son, you know this is all in your head, right?
Yeah.
You know, he was an older fellow.
Yeah, yeah. The sage matching, old warrior.
Yeah, yeah. Matching tracksuit, you know. He's like, you know this is in your head, right?
That's
so
great.
That's always kind of haunted me,
yeah.
You know. And I found out, yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a physical thing. You got to be in shape. But you're gonna hit something that your body can't handle. It's up to your mind at that point,
right?
You know, so that's what inspired that. Now the ending of that, you know, that's because that ending was supposed to happen at the Children of Cain.
Ah, of course.
Which is another Walker race.
Sure.
That I had ambitions of doing.
Of completing. Yeah,
yeah, but
yeah.
It doesn't exist anymore, unfortunately.
I'll put it together for you.
We'll yeah, right. Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
The
man.
Children of the Cain, you know, right here, baby.
Yeah, now that it took me, what, how many years to bounce back from that, I'm like ready to go. Sign me up. You know, I haven't even finished one. I got three on the books right now.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, so that's what the poem's
gotcha,
about.
Gotcha.
And,
gotcha.
You know,
gotcha.
So I hope to hit that goal really, really,
absolutely,
really soon.
So back to the words. You're a bit of a prolific writer, you know, at least from what you post online. Where did that begin? What kind of inspired the authoring of these words? Because it was a way of cleansing, as a way of purging, as a way of reflecting, all of the above.
Reflecting is great.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up. That has a lot to do with my running and writing,
and
obviously. You know, a few years ago, I decided that I was going to write a book.
Okay.
And it was a lot, it had a lot to do with my running. It had a lot to do with that race. And the title, hopefully no one, don't take it, it's copyrighted by Wesley Sheet Shop.
We have attorneys on retainer.
That's right. It's a finish never found.
Oh,
so
I like that.
It's the story of my life in through the finding of my physical abilities to prove my worthiness in life.
Interesting.
So it's really messed up.
I think a lot of people can relate to that.
Right,
you're right. Yeah.
Sure. But through that process, I was like, I started digging up some things. I'm like, I don't want to deal with this right now. So
I'm going to go for a 2-hour run.
We put that on hold.
Yeah.
Then poetry kind of came into it, you know, as a way of just, I don't know, just I like just experience things and write about them.
Sure.
So anything that you that you've read actually happened. There's one I don't know if you read about a little girl dropping rose petals.
Mm-hmm.
That was downtown Brunswick.
Okay.
Saddest thing I think I've ever seen as far as a little girl. girl just walking down the street, dropping rose petals on the ground, you know, and inspired me to write a poem about it. So I kind of dig that.
Yeah.
A lot of them, they can be nature, but, you know, a lot of them aren't even, they don't even have to do with me. I might just see an interaction between two
people. That inspires the words, yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of neat.
Yeah.
It's a nice outlet.
And you started that at the same time you started the running?
No.
You've been running since?
I started writing probably 2019.
Okay.
Would never post anything. There was a lot of fear there. You know, you put something out like that, you got to realize you're going to be judged in every way possible on social media, right?
100%.
Oh my gosh, what's Wesley going through right now? That was so sad.
We need eyes on Wesley. Somebody go look.
Broken heart, huggy face, and all that showing up. And it, you know, it's not necessarily me, y'all. Right. You know, but anyways, it a few people really had to, that knew I wrote, and I shared it with them. They're like, you got to share this with people, you know. And you, of course, how they spun that was, you never know. It might reach some people that are going through something similar.
Sure.
So it took up a lot of courage. I actually joined a poet site first called Poetizer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it kind of gave me the safe, anonymous realm to poet, to write.
Get feedback.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I ventured out there putting it on Instagram and Facebook. So.
And how do you feel about that?
I'm good with it.
But I mean, have you? Let me ask it differently. What's been the reaction?
It's mixed. Some you get the it'll be okay. Yeah, prayers for you. I say, they don't understand. You know, there's been some people. Actually, I wrote one, and it was about the rose petal girl.
Oh, okay.
I got a private message. Was Wesley? I was that little girl.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, and what she wrote to me, I could dig it up, but it made me cry.
It had an impact.
It made me cry.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, I think good reaction.
Good.
But most of it's silent because, you know, who wants to?
I mean, it is a very silent and personal thing, but it was fascinating when I was kind of going through it, preparing for our conversation today. You know, looking for anything you had written related to running, and obviously mile 93, you know, jumps right at you because it's, you know, like you just described. But then some of the other prose that you've written, you know, is not running related, but very, how do I want to put it? You know, personal, very deep, very, you can tell that there's more to Wesley than just the running, you know?
Yeah, I'm a very empathetic person.
Yeah.
So I feel through others greatly. So, yeah, I'm the kind of person that if someone's giving a speech on a stage and they're stressed out and nervous, like
you feel it.
I'm like my neck is red too. You know, I'm sweating.
Pretend I'm in my underwear. That helps you.
Right. So, and I do that with everything. That's a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
Man, it really is.
Yeah.
Like, I would say more of a blessing, but sometimes, you know, it takes you down those dark places, you know, and again, that's where we're running.
It will take you to dark places.
Man. Yes. There, you know, for years, my 50K PR stood as a training run on Jekyll Island.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I really found how to run and use these things to empower me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I laughed, I cried, I hit every emotion possible in that run.
Yeah.
And you know, kind of like what David Goggins
does. Yeah.
But he kind of validated you're not crazy. You know, I mean other people do.
Well,
this,
we are,
you know.
We're a little
crazy. I'm not crazy. I'm not just not you.
Right.
But that's where I discovered that over there. And I, you know, if you can let things go and not
let it weigh you down.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Mm-hmm. I use it when it's appropriate.
Sure.
And the biggest thing when I tell people as an ultra runner in doing that, how empowering is that? When you can take all the pains that someone's ever inflicted on you, use it to fuel you on the pain that you're putting yourself through, and then walk away from it.
Yeah.
Like, you're in 100% control.
Oh,
of that,
absolutely.
You know, and I love that. And you know, there's a few things that I keep a text message that someone wrote me, and I read it every now and again.
Yeah.
Just to, you know, and it says, you know what, Wesley, one day your legs won't work like they used to, and all your friends will be gone, and you'll realize the consequences of your actions. And I was like, huh. Well, I got something for you. Yeah. So, but yeah, like every day, I don't wake up and read that, look in the mirror. Yeah, I use those things in the appropriate moment.
Absolutely.
To get me through.
It's an arrow on the quiver, you know?
Yeah.
Use it when
yeah.
you need it.
It's great.
So now you're using this, your running talents to try to do some good with, tell me about the longest day. Tell me, what's the genesis? What was the inspiration to put this together?
It was, selfishly, it's all about me.
Because you're crazy.
It was 100% about me. Okay, so how this came about is, like, you know, I'm competitively driven.
Sure.
Okay, yep. So when I get to an event, there's an extra notch that you're given.
Sure.
An extra gear, because you're there.
Yeah.
And I perform fairly well. I think regionally I can show up and be like, I'll shake things up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. But I started thinking, gosh, you don't know what you can do when you don't have that.
Mm.
So I just said, I'm gonna go out and just run on the longest day of the year,
mm-hmm.
and see how many miles I can do without competition, without that extra fuel, just me. And it kind of morphed into, well, we could make an event out of this. And I pitched it to Ori at the Golden Ox mm-hmm. Track Club, mm-hmm. and said, listen, we do a lot for the community. Let's attach a fundraiser to this. Who's in need in the community that needs something? And we'll do it.
Yeah.
I'll run it. You know, I'm not really good with the other aspects of it. But
somebody else can do that.
I'm your horse. You know, it's just. So he came up with, he pitched the Oatland, the farm at Oatland mm-hmm. North. As a fundraiser, and we would raise money, and I would run for the longest day ever.
Nice.
But it was really, it was selfishly driven.
But initially you wanted, this was like, I want to do this on the longest day of the year, mm-hmm. see what I can do. And then you decided, why not do something good?
Yeah.
Well, no
yeah.
wrong with that.
No. Yeah, well, you know. Everybody knows it as a fundraiser, but yeah, that's the honesty behind
right,
it. You know,
right.
Nobody could show up Saturday, and I'd still do it.
Right.
That's what's
right.
going to go down there. Yeah. You know,
you're going to do it regardless.
Right.
Regardless if you right. raise $10 or, right. or $10,000.
But you know, let's put some purpose behind it.
Absolutely.
So if we're going to do something like that, and I can attach a purpose to it, again, selfishly, that's a little bit more fuel for me
yeah.
too. You know. I don't want to disappoint anybody.
Oh, of course not.
If someone gave me $50 to run 75-ish miles, I'm going to do it.
So we're at June 11th. Do you know how much has been raised so far? Do you know? Or?
I believe we're around 1,300 or 1,400.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I visited.
That's fantastic.
That's fantastic. Yeah, considering what it takes $55,000 a year to run that farm.
Yeah.
So,
and for folks that are maybe not aware, can you give a little description
sure.
of the farm?
The farm at Oatland North is on the north end of St. Simons Island,
mm-hmm.
and it's a refuge. It's a farm for neglected farm animals,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Abused farm
animals. Yeah, we took the kids there many times. It's cool,
yeah, you
cool place.
There?
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like the hospice for animals. You know what I mean?
There you go.
So
yeah.
Like, yeah. It's where they're going to live it out.
Yeah.
You know, but what I thought was amazing is, those animals actually have human personalities.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think it's the time that they spent with all those ladies there, and they get such good care for them. You know, the place is spotless. So when I visited, they took me around to each animal and introduced me properly, you know. So it was just...
That's cool.
It was a cool animal farm.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it takes $55,000 a year. And so $1,500 if we get there.
I mean, that'll make a dent. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
You know, feed and vet bills seem to be there.
The biggest.
The vet bill.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know. Could you imagine having to take a horse to Gainesville to get
no.
treated? Gosh, how expensive is that?
No. But, yeah. It takes enough for me to get to the doctor.
Right.
I can't even imagine a horse. So the response from them has been, they've embraced this idea.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Now, will you be able to run through the farm on the day, on the longest day? Is it going to be part of the route?
No.
Oh, come on, Wesley.
No. That would have been good thought. Look at that. Look. Oh, now he's behind a tree. Look, got a runner.
Oh, there he is. I might know them. I can usually I usually recognize the gait of about 90% of the people.
That is true. Everybody's like, hey, I saw you.
Like, I know who you are.
But no, the route for the longest day will be from Neptune Park.
Okay, you'll start at Neptune? Okay.
And back.
Okay.
So it's a 5.56-mile loop.
Oh, so it's, okay, I got you. So you're just going
to... Right, and I have to do it 18 times. So if anybody can do the math real quick on 19. That.
Here, we got a calculator right here. That's 18 times 5.6, you said? It's 100 miles, baby. Yeah. Look at that.
So we'll give it a shot.
Nice.
I kept it a secret for a while. I'm like, you just got
it. Yeah, well, I mean, I heard about it. It's been a few months and then when you put it out
well,
there.
Well, the original thing.
Or the... The Oh, you mean the distance that you're wanting to hit? Ah, okay. Breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. He's going to go for 100 miles.
Yeah.
100 miles.
So, you know, I'd like to know. I'm trying to find out. You might know the longest recorded run on St. Simon's. I don't know.
It might be me.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. What's your
I'd have to go look at my Garmin because when I was training for...
Is it 100? I'll do 101.
Oh, you mean like total miles? If you did it, then it's yours, man. It's all yours, you nut job. Why anybody would want to run that far?
It's beyond me. Really?
No, training run, God. I know I did training runs on the island of at least 30 to 40 miles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, so you'll easily eclipse that, you know. You just sit there and do your 18 laps. I'll go out there and cheer you on with my my boot and my...
I'm hoping people show up just to hang out.
And what's the date? Why don't we... Give people the information again right now.
June 24th.
Okay, June 24th.
Starting at 6:22 a.m.
Okay.
At Neptune Park.
Okay. Yeah. And you're going to go until the sun goes down.
And
this is self-supported, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, there will be a crew there just for, like, to keep me on track.
At the start-finish?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Your own aid station?
Yeah. I'll bring my own stuff, everything I need. Okay. They're there just for support.
And what's the route? What's the roads that you're going to be running?
So...
You'll start at the casino?
Yes.
And like, then you'll go left or right on Ocean?
Up the Ocean
Mallory
path.
Okay.
And then I'll take right in front of the lighthouse.
Okay, yep.
You make that right.
Yep. It's the finish to Dolphin Day. You're taking the path.
Yeah. There's back streets up the Gould's Inlet.
Okay.
And then I'll come down Ocean.
Okay.
All the way on the bike path.
Okay,
then
I got you.
Mallory, and then yeah.
Gotcha.
There's a map on the Golden Isles page, I believe.
Okay. The GITC, the Track Club's page.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So, where can people learn more about the longest day, and how can they, more importantly, donate?
Absolutely. You can go to the Facebook page.
For the longest run?
Yep.
And there's a link there?
There's a event page, The Longest Day Ever.
Okay.
And
I'll link this in the information when we post, when this goes live.
Yeah. Or you can go to the Golden Isles
Track Club.
Track Club's,
okay. Is it on their web page? Facebook and their web page?
Yeah,
it's
only on their Facebook.
Facebook page, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, there's some flyers floating around there. It has a QR code on the bottom of it.
Okay.
So most of the businesses around Mallory have that.
I'll look for that QR code and also include it in the in the notes for the show.
Yeah. So you can come out and run if you want to run 1 mile, go back. You want to run a whole loop with me, go back.
Or if you want to race him,
or you can do that too. And you know what? Everybody's like, oh gosh, I can't keep up. Listen, this is an endurance event.
Absolutely.
So it's about longevity. Like, it's not about speed.
Right, right.
Like, how long can you do this for? So, you know, don't worry about pace. Just come out and enjoy. I invite people to, if you want to have a chat with me, learn a little bit about me, if you want to know what, you know, kind of why I do what I do, about running, then we'll do that. You know?
Fantastic.
So, you just want to come say hi, I should be back. I think we're planning on every loop between 55 minutes, 58 minutes, something like that, you know, to keep me on track.
Sure.
And then, of course, going into the evening, it'll probably slow down a little bit to maybe like an hour, 6 minutes.
Now, most of the longest, most of the the races that you have done outside of the marathon have all been trails.
Yes.
So this will be the first time you're going to be pounding these legs for a long period of time on asphalt.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. On.
I hope you don't have to go to work the next day.
I don't. Do my weather research, too, which also happens to be historically the hottest day of
most
the year
humid
in,
day
in
of
Southeast
the year.
Georgia. Yes.
You know, it's funny. I tell people, I would rather be in Chicago in January, which is where I'm from, Chicago, in January, than here in August, because it is oppressive, the heat and the humidity. And I tell people, I'm a cold weather Mexican. I'm not one of these, you know, hot blooded, you know. No. I was raised in the city. But what I do miss is when I did have those long runs, that hot, humid, and you're just out for a couple hours and you just come back and you just, you know, your body's just been beat up and you're just drenched and it's just like that sense of accomplishment, you know? And you
absolutely.
I just stood outside with the hose and just kind of just rinsing myself off and just, you know, it's like that's what I miss.
Yeah.
I mean, just that, you know, just being able to do that. And it's hot and it's humid and, you know, I beat the elements, you know, I went toe to toe with them and, you know, I went out and just did something that, you know, physically and was able to do something physical. And it was also a mental challenge. So that I do enjoy when I was able to do that in the heat and the humidity. Now, just no, I can't. No.
So
like just walking from my car to the house. No, it's too hot.
I'm from Pittsburgh, man.
You should keep all that. Yeah.
Mm-mm.
What?
Oh, I can't stand being cold.
Oh, God, no.
Winter training here, I loathe it.
Put winter training here?
Yeah, I say it.
You
just
can't
like
call
that.
It winter.
Yeah. I hate it. Anybody will tell you. I can't stand it.
We'll just agree to disagree, Mr. Wesley.
The hotter, the better.
Wesley, where can people learn more about you and folks that might be interested in reading some of your prose? Where can they find you? Where can they find you? Like read your prose or
are you on
Instagram and you're on Facebook?
Instagram,
where if you
Wesley
want
Wesley John Shout.
Okay.
Is it, you know, just straightforward my name. No fancy nicknames or anything, just Wesley John Shout.
Fantastic.
Yeah, Instagram, Facebook.
Well, Wesley, thank you for being on the podcast. Lane One is glad that you came on board. And folks, don't forget the longest day, June 24th.
6/22.
6/22, baby. And what did I say? The 24th?
Yeah, June 24th.
See, it's the heat. It's June 24th. Okay. June 24th, longest day. And go check it out. And we'll post some after the event. Yeah, we'll post some stuff on our socials to let folks know what the results and the final number was that you guys raised. And we'll go from there.
And I'm going to register for your race. I saw it come out the other day.
The Wally Preserve Endurance Run, 3 and 6 hours.
New Year's
Anybody
day.
Out there, come on down. Join us
New Year's
for New Year's day.
How crazy can you be on New
Absolutely,
Year's Day?
Absolutely, baby.
You know what? Hey, before we go, that was a mistake for last year, right? Like
it wasn't a mistake. We rescheduled it. So it was initially supposed to be November.
It was rescheduled.
Me too.
We kept it that day.
Me too.
And we were the only six nut jobs, as you would say.
And there were supposed to be three more that were supposed to show up. And so, yeah, so originally, folks, just a quick shout out. Wally Preserve is a preserve here on St. Simon's Island that the St. Simon's Land Trust has preserved, thus the name Preserve. Endurance, so in a partnership with them, we've created this race, this endurance event, 3 and 6 hours. And originally it was supposed to be in November of last year. And then a storm came through. And not being able to access the preserve to assess if any trees were down and, you know, what the condition of the trail was, literally the day before we were supposed to have the event, I made the decision to postpone it. And so checked with the land trust. They said, hey, or I asked them, what about January 1st? I'm like, great. And so let everybody know, reopened registration to see if anybody, and we did get a couple more people
really?
That registered, yeah. And, you know, it's a different vibe. It's 3 hours and a 6 hour timed event running on a track, or in this case, this, and you know, it only attracts a certain kind of folk. And so I was glad. I was very happy with the folks that showed up. And we had a great time, and we're going to do it. And we're going to continue to do it in the foreseeable future. So hopefully more folks from other parts of the state and, you know, Georgia and South Carolina or from wherever, you know, we'll be able to.
When I saw that date, though, I was like, yeah.
It's poetic.
Yeah.
It's poetic. Why don't we end there, sir?
Yes.
Thank you again for joining us.
Appreciate it.
And good luck with the longest day ever.
Thank you.